luxury starts every night with a great night's sleep. Discover the Sleepmaker Luxury Collection. First class sleep, available only at Harvey Norman. Proudly Australian made, the Mayfair and St. Regis mattresses are thoughtfully crafted to deliver exceptional comfort, premium support, and the luxury of truly undisturbed sleep. Sleepmaker's latest sleep technology, Q4, eliminates partner disturbance, enhances airflow, and conforms more precisely to your body, so you fall asleep easier, sleep cooler, and sleep deeper, creating the perfect sleep sanctuary in your own home. Because luxury isn't just how a mattress feels, it's how you feel when you wake up. Sleepmaker Luxury, exclusively at Harvey Norman. Shop in store and online.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Friday, the 10th of July, 2026. It's a day where the Australian share market rose, the S&P ASX 200 up about 0.5%. We'll have the details with Diane College from Morgans in a few moments, including a look at some new US IPOs. But first, Westpac has pushed forward its interest rate cut call from 2028 to 2027, joining the other big three bank economists, but it's doubled down on its prediction that the RBA will need to lift interest rates twice before then. To explain, I spoke with Lucy Ellis, Westpac's chief economist. Lucy, you're now even more confident that the RBA will lift. RBA is done lifting interest rates. Why?
Ricardo, I recognise that higher interest rates isn't a story a lot of people will want to hear, but we listen to what the Reserve Bank says, we watch what they do, and we notice what they're emphasising. And where the RBA has been pointing to and emphasising in all its communication, both after the June meeting and since then, is they're worried about inflation. They're seeing reasons to respond to inflation more forcefully than past research would have suggested. These are all the things that they're saying. They are far more worried about inflation than they are about weak growth. And while others have taken different views, and I think that's respectable, there are certainly reasonable arguments on the other side as well. There are plenty of other economists outside the big four who agree with us that there are more rate hikes to come. And in fact, we're not the only ones who think that two more hikes is more likely than one more hike.
Okay. Still, you're joining the others in forecasting rate cuts in 2027 instead of 2028 now. What will be the catalyst?
The catalyst really is how quickly inflation comes down. When we put together our forecasts for the Reserve Bank, the way we think about it is, what are our forecasts saying about inflation, growth, and other economic variables? And if that's how things pan out, how would the RBA respond? The change in the timing of our rate cuts, which, to be honest, brings it back more or less to where it was before the war, is really just saying we're more confident now that the pass-through of higher oil prices and higher energy costs into other prices in Australia, it has been outsized. It has been much larger than average. This is something we've been highlighting for a long time and something the RBA has been pointing to recently. That is a reason why we think they're going to go more sooner. But we're more confident now that that pass-through won't go on forever and that inflation will come back down into the Reserve Bank's 2 to 3% target a little bit sooner than we previously thought.
All right. And I know you've basically answered it there, but if interest rates are likely to they'll move based on your forecast. But by the end of next year, if they're at 4.35%, which is where they are right now, why can't the RBA just sit on its hands?
Well, I think the only way they can be confident that inflation will come down as they expect and that businesses won't pass on those higher costs into their prices is if interest rates are high enough to keep activity soft enough so that businesses don't pass those costs on. They're trying to ensure that the economy grows below trend in order to create some spare capacity and therefore prevent further increases in prices being driven by higher costs because of the war.
So is it fair to say that the increases in interest rates that you're expecting is because of the war?
I think there's a bit more to it than that. Obviously, petrol prices are back down to where they were before. But as we've been highlighting for a number of months, the pass-through of those energy prices into the prices of other things, such as building materials and homewares. We're also seeing electronics prices being stronger than they have been because of, you know, the boom in AI. So it's more than just the war, but it's really that sense that Australia already had high inflation before the war broke out. The war made it a little bit worse and created more cost pressures that businesses have been passing on more than usual.
That's Lucy Ellis there, the chief economist at Westpac.
Luxury starts every night with a great night's sleep. Discover the Sleep Maker Luxury Collection. First class sleep, available only at Harvey Norman. Proudly Australian made, the Mayfair and St Regis mattresses are thoughtfully crafted to deliver exceptional comfort, premium support, and the luxury of truly undisturbed sleep. Sleepmaker's latest sleep technology, Q4, eliminates partner disturbance, enhances airflow, and conforms more precisely to your body, so you fall asleep easier, sleep cooler, and sleep deeper, creating the perfect sleep sanctuary in your own home. Because luxury isn't just how a mattress feels, it's how you feel when you wake up. Sleep Maker Luxury, exclusively at Harvey Norman. Shop in store and online. Go!
The Lord Season 4, the Arctic.
10 brave souls, far from home, close to freezing.
It's a whole new frontier.
Oh my God!
Alone Australia, streams 15th of July on SBS On Demand.
Let's go to the Australian share market now, which rose today. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.5%, ending a four-day losing streak. The miners did well, especially gold and uranium. Telstra gave up 1.6% as it continues to deal with the fallout from Wednesday's mobile outage. For a look at the day's market action, I spoke with Diane College, private client advisor at Morgans. Diane, finally a good day for the share market after four straight sessions of losses. Why has sentiment turned today?
Great to see you again, Ricardo. Our market has followed on from what we've seen offshore overnight. So where we saw the previous couple of sessions, the basic materials has been the key downturn across most of global markets. And overnight, we saw that retrace, and we saw that the actual base resources and base metals all performed exceptionally well, and that led to a number of the key miners, particularly in Europe and the UK markets, actually turn around and perform quite strongly. Related to copper and base metals have also outperformed. When you get one sector of the market firing, then it tends to drag the whole market up higher. So that's where we sit.
I just spoke to Lucy Ellis before you, the chief economist at Westpac. Westpac today bringing forward its RBA rate cut call from 2028 to August 2027. But she still expects a couple of interest rate rises this year, which goes against what the other three big bank economists are saying. What's the market pricing in? Why? And do you agree?
Great question. And I was very pleased to see that that's what she has come out to say, because as most of us are mortgage holders, any reprieve from interest rate rises is a blessing. Our in-house economist, Michael Knox, is expecting two more rate rises as well this year. And he also agrees that the first one should come through in August, which is the next meeting. And the second one he is advocating should be around that Melbourne Cup RBA meeting, which is traditionally where they do sort of come out with an interest rate decision that goes either direction. Consensus expectations is for the RBA cash rate to be around 4.6% and inflation rate to stay at around 4.4%. All things being equal, not allowing for any major shocks geopolitically out there to sort of move the dial in either direction.
Can we talk about Telstra for a few moments? Despite the headlines and potential reputational damage at the company following its network outage on Wednesday, its share price has been hit, but not necessarily so hard. But for transparency, before the interview and we were chatting, the share price since Wednesday when the incident happened was down around 1.5%. It's actually fallen quite dramatically in the past 15, 20 minutes since then, right? So shares from Wednesday to right now, which is just before the market closed when we recorded this interview, they're down about 4.5% right now. What do you make about the market reaction to the network outage? And what about the challenges for the company going forward?
I think the most recent immediate fall has been triggered by a lot of the press out there actually saying that there's been a fatality linked to the outage. And the CEO has come out and sort of responded to that. However, I think the stock price will continue to react to that news, possibly for the next couple of days. And that's definitely a challenge for the stock. And we saw a similar scenario for Optus when they had their outage, not that Optus is a listed business. And I would suggest that up until this outage, Telstra was probably seen as a little bit overvalued. So possibly we're seeing a bit of profit taking from Telstra as a result, or using this as a trigger to instigate that profit taking at current levels. It got to a high of 5.55 in May this year, and since then has sort of steadily fallen, but ultimately today has been quite a significant fall for the share price.
This week, we saw the largest IPO listing in Australia this year, just $400 million. It's a company called FDC Consolidated, although its share price, it debuted at a premium. Shares are up again today. But the interesting thing with the local share market is that we've only seen 17 listings so far this year. Could this success lead to more activity on the market in terms of new listings? And does it really matter? Because we're in a more globalized investing world. We've seen the success of the likes of SpaceX, and now more recently and overnight, South Korea's SK Hynix, which is said to have raised around $27 billion as it prepares for the largest foreign listing on the NASDAQ in New York.
It's so exciting. We as Morgans participated in 7 of the 17 IPOs you speak of, and we unfortunately did not do FDC, but we have had some success in some of the stocks that we've brought to market. Skin Candy is one to mention that was a great IPO from Morgans. And we also, as a house, participated in SpaceX. So we were able to bring our clients access to that IPO. And that's done exceptionally well as well. And there's a lot of index inclusion for SpaceX. And we've also seen a number of different broker, US broker valuations that value it quite a lot higher than where it is at the moment. So there is a number of other US businesses that we possibly, as Australian shareholders, get access to, such as Anthropic and OpenAI. They're slated to come to market possibly at the end of this year, early next year. So it'll definitely be an interesting scenario if Australia gets access to those as well.
Okay, and in wrapping up, what are you telling your clients right now, and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Morgans is actually advocating a higher weighting to global exposure at the moment over Australian shares, and that's possibly a view on the economy here versus the economic growth forecasts we can see offshore. We definitely see a lot more opportunities, particularly in that AI space. And we are able to offer our clients the opportunity to buy directly and or through ETFs. So with the direct stocks, we're liking names such as ASML, TSMC, KLA, Meta, Broadcom, those AI-related businesses that are actually listed on global markets that we can access through here. And we also like accessing different levels of market exposure, such as emerging markets, through ETFs. And we are now in a position to offer, you know, hedged ETFs as well. So that gives you the opportunity to take a view on the currency. So from our perspective, we're definitely still like our Australian market. We'll know more about the stocks and how they're performing when the August reporting season comes up, and that's not too far away. And we're definitely looking at offshore opportunities as where to place clients' funds at the moment.
That is Diane College from Morgans, and she wraps up the podcast for this Friday and for the week. Give it a like, subscribe and review if you enjoy it. And don't forget, you can watch On The Money during the 6:30 weekday edition of SBS World News on SBS. The podcast returns on Monday, drops after the market close, and I will catch you then.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Luxury starts every night with a great night's sleep. Discover the Sleepmaker Luxury Collection. First class sleep, available only at Harvey Norman. Proudly Australian made, the Mayfair and St Regis mattresses are thoughtfully crafted to deliver exceptional comfort, premium support, and the luxury of truly undisturbed sleep. Sleepmaker's latest sleep technology, Q4, eliminates partner disturbance, enhances airflow, and conforms more precisely to your body, so you fall asleep easier, sleep cooler, and sleep deeper, creating the perfect sleep sanctuary in your own home. Because luxury isn't just how a mattress feels, it's how you feel when you wake up. Sleepmaker Luxury, exclusively at Harvey Norman. Shop in store and online.